Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Do we have everybody's mics on?
I think so.
Yep.
Working. Okay, great.
Here.
Everybody check in so I know that
physically,
you're
physically, emotionally, and metaphysically.
I can see you, but I can't hear you, and this is radio, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see you through my microphone. It's like this nice little visor.
I just have to make one comment, and then I'll let you guys take off with this, because there's going to be a lot of people talking today. I feel like I'm at the cool kids table here in high school. I'm just at all these, you know, all these guys are all wearing these cool clothes, and you know.
Yeah, we're always here, and we always look like this every week. So you know, maybe we need to do something about that because it's the same comment every week.
I feel like I'm at the cool kids' clothes table.
So with that being said, thank you, Paul. We do dress for radio. So you
know. Show them your vest. That's what I just.
No, not yet.
No, okay.
Hey. Let me do the show. Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay.
We didn't even get out of the first inning yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So. The premise of the show is aging and journey of aging, and people always ask me, like, why? So what the heck are you doing when you veer away from this? Well, it's about me getting older and things that I'm involved in and things that are of interest to me. So hopefully that's also of interest to some other people. And since it's my show with my name on it, I take some liberties with that, right?
As you should.
As I should.
The live feed from Facebook.
And my live feed from my
show.
Facebook, because I'm trying to be
interfering with the show.
Courteous and want to make sure that anybody has questions, I catch it. So we're turning that off, okay? So before we start, to Paul's point, if anybody has any questions, you're going to have to call in this radio station at what number, Paul?
If you want to be one of the cool people talking to all the cool crowd here today, you can call us at 949-330-7761. 949-330-7761. Operators standing by.
Okay, and if you're watching us, then you know how to get a hold of us. If other people want to watch that are listening only, you can go to the YouTube station or YouTube channel or the Facebook page for OC Talk Radio, or you can also go to the Facebook page for The Rad Life, RAADLIFE, and you can see us and hear us. And please call into that number that Paul just gave away, because we'd love to hear from you. So one of the things that I've always been interested in, and ever since I moved back to California back in 2000, after being out working at different places for a couple of companies, is that I've had this thing about, if you're going to live in a town, and it started off with me living in San Clemente, like if you're going to live in a town, you know, I had been a nomad traveling all over for a while, working in different places, like I said, is if you want to live in a town, you got to really live in a town. And one of the ways that I felt that you really lived in a town is that you basically became part of that community's sort of nonprofit structure. You gave, you got involved, you volunteered, you made things better than you found them in whatever small way you could, whether it be financial or volunteering or teaching or whatever, or a combination of all of that, which means that it left you no time to do anything that you really needed to do. And I found myself in that spot too, right? But and why I share that is because it's also part of what we're talking about today. Is there's a feel good that comes out of volunteering, and we've talked about it on the show before, that really is very rewarding in a way that is not, you cannot get rewarded financially. There's something that gives to your soul by being involved in a bigger thing, bigger than yourself, making a positive impact, be it a senior thing, be it a children, be it community garden, whatever it is that you may be interested in where you can bring your skills to bear. And along the way on that journey, since this show is about a journey of life, is I've met some people that are really interesting, and two of them are with me in the studio today. And they both play a different role, and the interesting thing is there's been an evolution both in my quest in being involved and what I now, for years, I felt I wasn't worthy to even ask this question, by the way. It's like, you know, am I, you know, is it right to ask a nonprofit what it should do for me as a person involved with them? Like, what should my expectations be of a nonprofit? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're there to give, and you're now basically saying, you know what? You need to basically sell me on why I should be involved with you. Instead of like, oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity to volunteer, right? Mm-hmm. So, and part of it is because we all have very finite time. Okay, we have all very high, you know, list of priorities.
Especially
there's
here.
A lot of things that draw on you, right? Yeah. And it's just gotten more complex. Life's gotten more complex. There's more demands on us. There's less times, it seems. You got to basically, schedule everything almost. You got to schedule your off time. Mm-hmm. Right?
We've been trying to do this show for 3.5 years.
Zach and I have been trying to do this show for 3.5 years.
Okay? It's not a joke.
And it's his fault because he's just busier than anything I know, and he's just gotten busier and
it
busier.
It is all my fault.
It's all your fault.
You're unemployed. You do this radio show and nothing else.
Oh. So
you have all the time in the world, right?
I like this guy already.
There will be a layer of sarcasm in today's show if you haven't picked up on it already. Okay,
it's good for radio.
Right, it's good for radio. But he is actually part of the reason why I ended up basically doing this show is because he and I met before this show started or even had an inkling that this show was going to happen. And he encouraged me and he shared with me his own personal story, which I hope he shares a little bit with us today. And it made me kind of stretch outside my comfort zone. And here I am finding myself again looking at nonprofits and my involvement in nonprofits. I don't plan to not volunteer. I don't plan to not be involved. I don't plan to stop doing what I can to the area, you know, what's around me. But I'm a little bit more demanding, I think, in how that happens and what it looks like and how much time does it suck out of my day. And I'm going to use that because that's exactly how it feels like. And there's been nonprofits, the boards I've served on over the last 16 years, that I've either kind of lost interest. Or I find myself basically going through this sort of a cycle of things just basically repeating themselves. Almost this like the definition of crazy. It's like we keep doing the same things over and over again, expect different results, and it never happens. And there's common problems with nonprofits that are...
They
can't get out of their own way. So everything, we talk about this, and everybody goes, yeah, at retreats, and then we all go away, and then nothing happens in some cases. Composition of boards, strategic composition of boards, what people bring to the table, the skill sets that you need to know that you need before you even go out and seek them to make sure that they're part of your board. Financing, grant writing, having the skill in the committee levels to basically do regular grant writing, the strategy of what you're going to go after, programs that you put into place in order to allow you to fund your organization's mission, and more importantly, to sustain the organization over a period of time. And their organization has been around for 20 years. By some Hail Mary and some goodwill and some success stories, and then they basically fall by the wayside, right? And so as a person who maybe you volunteered or served at the board or you even gave money to those organizations, there's a little bit of a sadness, I think, that when you see something like that you kind of vested in, go away.
And especially when you see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, not yet, Paul. So basically, here's the thing. I want you guys to introduce yourself, but I also want because I know that you have an affinity to nonprofits and involvement in nonprofits, but that's not what you do 9 to 5. So what is it about being involved in nonprofit that makes you want to give and then be demanding in how efficient and how successful that is?
He hasn't said a word yet. Let him have the floor.
So the mic is yours. The floor is yours.
Great. Yeah, so Tyler Mounts, I professionally or vocationally work in health and fitness.
You can give a plug.
I work for Stark in Irvine. It is awesome.
Hi,
literally,
Todd.
We help. Yeah, Todd Van High, if you're listening.
Todd did a show here for a long time.
Yeah.
Stark and Naked.
That's right. I think we took, we drank in this room as well.
You did?
Yeah, we took some shots. I remember that. So the affinity to philanthropy. My dad runs a nonprofit, grown up volunteering in various organizations, whether that's summer camps or, serving food for homeless shelters, things like that. So I kind of grew up around it. And through seeing the pain points in my dad's experience of running a nonprofit, I've noticed. And I remember coming across when I was in college something called the Mocha Club.
Okay.
There was this idea that, for $7 a month, the cost of 2 mochas, right? So you give up 2 mochas. And there's an amazing organization out there called Skip One, skipandthenumber1.org, that's really cool. Like, same concept, like whatever it is you do, like pedicures, a massage, whatever, if you skip one a month and then that money gets donated to charity.
Oh, I get it.
And so, for $7 a month, if everyone skips 2 mochas, Starbucks will not go out of business, but potentially kids in third world countries can have clothes for school, clean water, you know, whatever it is, just because of the way that, you know, how far the dollar was able to go, and collectively, that's this idea of this collective. So there, the literally billion-dollar question is in the nonprofit sector is how do we get a lot of people to give a little, right? There's what, 3.5 million people in Orange County, roughly, something like that. Right. So everyone gives $100 a year, $350 million. Now, I don't know the operating budget for all the nonprofits collectively in Orange County, but you know, this idea.
There's about almost 5,800.
Some of them larger, some of them smaller.
Yeah,
but this idea that if everybody gave a little, there would be no need for major donors, corporate foundations, things like that. So,
we still want you, though, major corporations. We still want you, major donors.
Yeah, but we, what we want is we want not to rely so heavily on those things, you know, because what happens is I think, you know, the future of nonprofits, one of the things that we're heading to is not only do we have a lot of nonprofits here in Orange County, we have more of them opening and starting up and things like that. And also, too, to the detriment of each nonprofit, we have overlapping services.
And they're all dipping into the same pockets.
And they're all, and so people in business, you want to talk about competition for the consumer dollar.
Yeah.
Well, all of these nonprofits are in competition for the donor dollar.
Absolutely.
And it's increasingly being spread more thin across more organizations. Mm-hmm. And so, again, now I don't really know. Like a really good example is, we 100 Companies Who Care recently gave a grant to Orange County Rescue Mission, and they're mostly targeting homelessness, but within their organization they have they call it a success center. So they help keep people with resume writing, getting interviews, including. They have it's like a thrift shop that they give to the residents. They give out clothes, like professional clothes for interviews, which is the same thing Working Wardrobes does. And Working Wardrobes is getting grants from United Way Orange County. And so what happened, and I don't really know, I'm not going to go down the road of how we solve that.
There's overlap. And there's overlap and repetitiveness of mission and task.
Yeah, and there are organizations that are collaborating beautifully. Like I look at CASA and Orangewood Foundation and the way that they're sort of tag team working with kids in the foster system. So it's happening, but I don't know if it's happening enough. And also too, so you have on the one hand, we're creating too many organizations for the same amount of services. And then we're spreading the donor dollar too thin across a smaller number of donors, whereas we need, so I think there needs to be, it's not an either or, it's a both and, right?
Yeah.
So you need to consolidate a little bit of the organizations and who's targeting what services, and you also need to get more people giving.
Well, I'll say for myself, as a person who's looking to donate, okay, or give, when I see that situation, it makes it very difficult for me because now I'm looking at the nuanced differences.
Yeah, totally.
And they're so nuanced that it's almost hard to decipher, like why this one versus that one. So I might go, and basically filter them through my own hometown, or some other organizations or friends and how they're involved. Right?
It's insular. A lot of it. When you see overlap of causes, it's because the San Clemente based cause doesn't have the same network as the Newport Beach based cause or as the Tustin, and you see. That's where overlap kind of stops sometimes in Orange County. But I see it in my line of work all the time, which is why I'm usually consulting.
What's your line of work and who are you?
I am. Thank you for the platform. I didn't, as much as I enjoyed lunch.
You are no foreigner to the microphone.
No, so. I am not, sir. Nor are you. You have a great radio voice, by the way.
Thank you.
You should.
You told me that before we started the show, so
you
I appreciate
it. You both have great radio voices and faces.
And I feel like I'm looking at James Franco. And
ladies and gentlemen, James Franco's in the house.
Honestly, he should be on General Hospital or something. He smells like sandalwood, ladies.
Absolutely.
Sandalwood.
He's annoyingly handsome.
Sandalwood? Really? You went sandalwood?
Sandalwood.
I guess it could have been worse. You could have said patchouli. But
no, he is definitely not patchouli. Okay. No, not by that jacket.
We'll get to the clothes.
I am Zach Crone. I am the founder and operator.
He is the Zach Krohn.
If there's another Zach Krohn out there, I'm sorry,
you're
your
not
Google
the Zach
doesn't.
You're not the Zach Krohn.
Please, please.
You're a Zach Krohn.
No, that's it's funny. funny that happens. I'll circle back to that.
Okay.
I am a full-time benefit auction specialist. I don't even like being called an auctioneer, although that is one part of what I do. My job is to consult on putting on
benefit auction specialist.
A benefit auction specialist. I don't do cars, couches, and cattle. My job is to create an environment on the night of the event that is conducive towards inspired giving, introduce various methods of revenue enhancement that aren't always on the top of everyone's mind or things that they've never heard of, that, to your point, develop a more egalitarian method of fundraising, a more socioeconomically diverse event, so that not just the one percenters are the ones who are giving at the high levels or bidding on the live auction items, which is entertaining in and of itself. And that's the other part of it. You can't just put up some car auctioneer on the stage anymore in Orange County or LA. And that's how I got into this, actually.
Well, what's interesting is I've seen you perform your auction benefit.
I appreciate you saying it. It's
not
an auction.
It's a performance.
Yeah.
I've seen you do that a number of times, and I never really kind of put the pieces together. Yes, absolutely. There is an egalitarian approach to your show, because otherwise, you're right, the 10% in that audience, the 10% at the gala,
they're carrying
the ones
the weight
that are kind of donating, and there are other people that maybe are unable to donate at that or feel intimidated, mm-hmm. that may be limited to maybe like the silent auction or something like that, that when it comes to actually the live auction or the ask, basically, mm-hmm. They feel like they just need to sit there until the show is over and then basically walk out. And you do. You actually, your show is more inclusive of everybody in the room, which is beneficial to the organization, to give at any level.
Exactly.
And, you know, to Tyler's point is that you're trying to make it more smaller donations on a larger group of people. And because, I mean, would you say that's a more sustainable model, if you can achieve that level?
You're talking about the egalitarian model? Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely more sustainable because
and it makes sense.
I mean,
what happens
that skip
is,
thing
I mean,
is amazing.
Think about a business that relies too heavily, like a service business that has 60% of their revenue coming from one account.
Right.
Like, as soon as that account walks out
oh
the
my
door,
God, you're like, talking business
like Firestone
in the world of nonprofits.
Yeah, I know, weird, right?
Gentlemen, so, like, are we going in there?
Firestone and Ford is a perfect example.
Yep.
What happened to the Firestone company after Ford stopped using Firestone from 1910 till, like, what was it, the mid 90s?
What would happen to a nonprofit when
if they overly and so there's I think there's a lesson to be learned on the part of I'm involved with CASA, so I'll mention that one because I know a little
and
more.
For those who don't know what CASA is,
court appointed special advocates. They're working
very
with
important
kids,
organization.
Working with amazing organization. Obviously, I'm involved, so I think what they're doing is really cool. They had an event recently. They called it the Pinwheel Project, and they had you could buy a pinwheel. You know what I'm talking about, like little things to spin for five. It was Child Abuse Awareness Month, or no, it was Foster Care Awareness Month. And so they wanted to sell a pinwheel for every child in Orange County that is in foster care, which is approximately 3,100 or 3,200 kids here in Orange County. And so $5 per pinwheel. And what they were trying to accomplish was not a large amount of funds, but they were trying to increase and engage a new donor base.
Cast a wide net at these things.
And so
and raise awareness.
And it's
raise awareness, exactly. So and all these benefits. And two, there's a really, really important lesson I think nonprofits can learn. And it's like high end retail. Right? Like, so, you know, I walk into a store in my jeans and a t-shirt, you know, versus the guy who walks in a tailored suit and, you know, and the perception that...
Kind of like me right now in a polo shoot.
Exactly. See, like, it would be horrible for me to not take you seriously.
That's why you're on that side of the table.
No, but so like I've been snubbed by nonprofits when I either offered whether it was my time or you know or been not overtly but kind of more subtly made to feel like my contribution wasn't that significant. And what happens is there's a danger in that because you also for one. It would be horrible to have a nonprofit, someone going around in the community talking about a nonprofit being like, yeah, they're a nonprofit, but they're not very nice. they kind of shut the door in my face.
Sort of the
thing.
Number one thing you need to be as a nonprofit is
nice.
Yeah, kind, and also too, like everyone is only one degree of separation away from someone else.
God.
And
small world,
very small world.
And yeah, exactly. And the longer you're in Orange County, the smaller this community feels.
Smaller.
And so, you know, I think that the organizations that are doing well at moving towards that egalitarian donor model are the ones that are engaging donors on a smaller level with the perception, crowdsourcing, but also with the perception that it's significant. Mm-hmm. So they invested a huge social campaign, email campaign, all going around these pinwheels, which was, you know, by no means a large fundraiser for them, but it brought however many people into the fold where it's like they're aware of what COST is doing and they're made to feel like they're contributing to something meaningful.
So I say this to clients all the time. Sorry, Ron.
Go ahead, Zach.
Everyone wants their act of generosity to feel like a tidal wave of generosity and not just a drop in the ocean. At nonprofit fundraiser events specifically, 60 to 70% of the people in the room are usually guests of someone who bought the table.
Yeah.
Someone who couldn't afford a $2,000 table.
Yeah.
So the majority of people in the room
haven't
spent a dime, and unless you offer them a means to participate, whether that's through all the various revenue enhancers that are available to them
and different levels to participate,
then because there's things that I say on stage all the time. What if I could find a way where everyone in this room could participate for no more than $20, and we can instantly and magically turn that into over $10,000? And we're going to reward you for doing it. You might win something. There's only three ways at these events to get someone to give. You either inspire them with the emotional cognizance and empathy generated from the cause itself and by the human connection that is inherent in the nonprofit. Two is to motivate them to give for the more cerebral givers.
Yeah.
And we see that all the time on television. For just $20 a month, you can teach this puppy to speak Spanish or whatever. or a match opportunity where if you give $500...
It's California, so, you know,
that exists. It's out there. Hi.
Yeah.
there are events on September 22nd.
And what's the third?
The third way to get someone to give is to incentivize them. And we're going to see that a lot more, I think. After the tax law has changed, people are not as incentivized from a tax deduction standpoint as much because a minimum went up. And so the nonprofit has to make that up in some way.
And I'm going to, you don't know this, but I fell for that at one of your events.
You didn't fall for it.
No, you're right. Sorry, fall for it's the wrong word.
You wanted to participate in a way that was comfortable for you.
So we're at the Ronald McDonald House in Orange County fashion show.
It's called Contagious
and,
Giving.
And they're doing it wasn't a paddle raise, but it was the giving commitments that works from $2,500 on down.
Yeah.
And so I had picked the point at which I was going to give. You know, I don't remember the increments. It was like $25, $15 and on down. And so I had already... You know, because it was an organization, Todd and the guys that I work with, like we've done some work with them in the past. So I was already in, had my amount, I gave it. And then on the last one was $50. That was the lowest amount. And Zach said, oh, and by the way, if you contribute at $50, you'll be entered into this drawing for... one of the things was a bike. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's a cool bike. And, you know, it is charity. And I actually have had pretty good luck with raffles in the past. I'm like, all right, I'm in. So I contribute for another $100 because, increase my odds. And so anyways, so what happens is this is awesome. Sorry, this is a little segue story.
No,
there's like three prizes.
Was this the beach cruiser?
There was a beach cruiser, but there was a watch.
He knows where I'm going with that.
And there's something else. And so what happens is they draw the one for the watch. They draw the one for the beach cruiser. They draw the one for whatever else. I think there was maybe like a two-night stay somewhere. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, a bummer. And then, but the last one, whoever drew the bike was a staff member of the organization.
Oh.
And so he donates the bike back. And then the guy in the front decides he wants the bike, not the watch. So he gives the watch back. He takes the bike.
He doesn't remember that part.
All these side deals are hilarious.
And then the next thing you know, there's one more ticket to be drawn and I ended up winning the watch. So, it was just funny because incentivized to give at a higher level.
Do you
want to
tell him the rest of the story?
No, you tell.
He doesn't remember the rest of the story.
Yeah, you tell.
And it's ironic that we're all sitting around the table.
I know.
Were you at that event?
I'm the one who gave back the bike.
Oh, you gave back the bike. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. No way. Awesome. I feel it was Ashton cut your hair. I'm, like, getting punked right now.
No, no. I'm the one who gave back the
bike. That is so funny.
I got the beach cruiser. I'm like, where am I?
It was like a Dr. Pepper bike, wasn't it?
See, he only owns skin-tight jeans, so he can't ride bikes. Yes,
there's no cushion. Yeah. That seat didn't look comfortable.
That is so funny. Yeah, so you gave the bike back.
You're here to tell the story.
You didn't even know. I had no clue. This is before I knew you. This was probably a couple years ago, right?
See how giving is contagious, though?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, and the fact that you made mention to Ronald McDonald House fashion show thing is actually even funnier because prior to that, we had been putting on events, and Zach was doing the auctioneer, the giving benefit, what is it?
Benefit auction specialist.
BAS.
It's actually a thing for the...
such a BAS.
Right, if you're in the industry.
Let me segue real quick, because for a lot of nonprofits that don't know, A, they don't know the difference between a commercial auctioneer and a benefit auctioneer.
Right.
And B, they just think an auctioneer is someone who gets up on stage and talks fast.
Right.
There is no regulatory system here. Either one of you could start a website tomorrow, say that you are an experienced benefit auctioneer, and your phone will start ringing in a short period of time. That doesn't mean you're going to be any good, and you're probably going to fall flat on your face for about a couple years without really knowing what you're doing.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you won't get hired. That's just...
And we've all been at events where the auctioneers actually fit that bill.
If they didn't exist.
This is not this guy.
Yeah.
There's
a
lot of bad ones.
So a few years prior to that one, since we're on it, okay... We basically had an American Society of Interior Design benefit at the Newport Beach Museum of Art.
The chairs for charity. Yeah.
Right? And it would benefit the Ronald McDonald House. And so second year that I actually did it, I designed a cactus chair for Ronald McDonald. I designed a spinning red bookcase chair, right?
I like the red
for Ronald McDonald's,
chair.
Which actually was purchased and donated and it's sitting in the Ronald McDonald's Ronald McDonald's just knock on his door. It's done. It's fine. Sorry, if you guys were hearing them, we were getting a call in, and our technician has actually stepped away for a minute. So if you tried to call back in a few minutes. But the second charity event for Chairs for Charity, I did this cube that was basically a bookcase in McDonald red, and I really decked it out with vintage McDonald memorabilia, including a fabric that I found that is no longer in production, and I basically needed to, because it's just the way I am, okay, and Tyler and I happened to share a tailor by the name of the godfather of fashion and clothing, Dave Welsh at Bespoke. And actually, that's another organization that I have an affinity with them because they also are very giving and they're very involved in nonprofits. And they benefit children. And every year they do a couple of things where they donate stuff for kids. So one of the things I did is I did some cushions for the chair. But I also ended up with extra fabric. So what am I going to do with extra fabric? So I don't know if you guys can see it. Maybe I should stand up. Okay. See this Ronald McDonald vest? Okay. This thing comes out of the closet about once every 3 years, and this is one of them, right? So the idea actually does have a Bespoke on the inside. Usually Dave will put your name and their brand on the side. This one does not have a name yet, so it can be claimed by you for the right donation will benefit Ronald McDonald.
We should raffle that off.
Okay, that's what we tried to do when I tried to have somebody wear it while they were out there on the stage, but they refused to because it's not exactly
fitted. So you know how hot it is under those lights?
I know exactly how hot it is right now. Under this. But anyway, so my point is, there's a lot of effort that goes in. I'm using this to segue to this. There's a lot of effort that goes into fundraising. There's a lot of effort and creativity that goes into what kind of the events are, to get the attention of the people, to inspire them, to capture the imagination, all for the one reason, which is to benefit the mission and the organization. And in a lot of cases, these events become very elaborate and very costly and very time-consuming and very costly in terms of labor costs, whether it's organization or volunteer time or whatever, right? And so part of me, over the last 16 years of being involved in nonprofits, have gotten a little tired of that. I found that to be a little bit not as efficient as I would like for it to be. And I don't really need to be wined and dined with crystal chandeliers anymore. If I have a feeling for an organization, I would rather just basically be acutely clear with them why I'm donating, what my expectations are, and basically have them basically just get on with it.
You're like what I like to call a Goldilocks donor. you're not too big, you're not too small.
Because just right? Is that what
you're just right. Oh, but... And because...
That's why I keep them around.
I think, you know, you get these nonprofits asking you, how do you get more people engaged and things like that. And I'm always going to be more function over fashion.
Right.
A centerpiece, unless you're actually selling them in whatever creative way possible, right. is not going to, or your uplighting,
right.
or your band versus a DJ. All these things are not going to increase how much you raise on the night of the event.
So perfect segue.
Yeah.
Perfect segue, because part of the reason why we are here is to talk about the futures of nonprofits. And we're using Orange County as an example model, but really this applies universally, I think, everywhere, right? And you do enough events all over the country that, you know, you're here as that voice of, you know, is this something unique to us? We just happen to be in a very affluent community. We have a lot of nonprofits that are all fighting for our attention. They're using everything from, you know, high-end promo and marketing branding companies to basically get in front of you, to get you engaged on social media constantly, right? I think somebody said that as an irregular individual these days, you get hit by 3,500 ads in the course of a day. Like, you know, like, so you know,
you're wearing fighting, one right now.
Yeah. Very loudly. But, okay. But, he's complaining, but he has a pocket square with the same material, so, you know, ignore
from
it.
From you.
From me, yes.
I love that thing.
Did you frame it yet?
No,
I can sign it.
I did the golf tournament for Ron McDonald's on Monday.
2 years later.
So, of course, I wear
later.
It.
So,
it's not like I can wear it at the goodwill
of it. How does the future of nonprofits look like for the people like me that are maybe, like what you're saying, a Gold Deluxe donor or a larger organization, you know, that are being whose attention is being constantly competed for, mm-hmm. right? How do we basically streamline this process? And that's when something called 100 Companies Who Care...
He's queuing you up.
...was brought to my attention. And it was brought to my attention by this gentleman sitting to my right. And it was through knowing him just socially and having shared interests. And I said, well, what the heck is this all about? And he said, well, come and see for yourself. And I was blown away.
Check it out.
And I was really blown away. Okay, so why don't you tell everybody who's listening, what is 100 Companies Who Care?
Thank you. So 100 Companies Who Care is part of a national organization called the 100 Who Care Alliance. The 100 Who Care Alliance has chapters in cities all over the U.S. They're generally branded as 100 Men Who Care or 100 Women Who Care.
Right.
They're focused on individuals. Mm-hmm. So they can be 100 people who care. The alliance is very hands-off in terms of all these chapters are run independently. But
the principle is the
business,
same.
Yeah, the principle is the same. They create what's called giving circles.
Okay.
So the Alliance isn't an organization or a nonprofit in of itself. They're people who gather together to give collectively. So a group of individuals, 100 people, mm-hmm. commit to give $100 per quarter, mm-hmm. so $400 annual commitment, and there's an event each quarter. At every event, there are presentations from three local nonprofits, all nominated by members. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, and they pitch the group, think like Shark Tank style. Mm-hmm. I call it the Dolphin Tank.
You know, Shark Tank is a good one.
It's, you know, it's Dolphin Tank. Yeah, it's like that, but it's like, yeah, but it's charity, so we should be more friendly in dolphins, you know.
I do a nonprofit that is totally against keeping whales and dolphins
yeah.
in captivity. You should.
So, yeah, so the Dolphin.
Manatee Circle.
We'll call it the Dolphin Harbor.
Okay.
Better.
Disney may be coming out.
Yeah,
Harbor is something you can come and go.
It's a pool of people that come together and
they give a presentation and pitch, and then the members vote, and it's winner takes all. So all 100 checks go to the winning organization. They walk away with $10,000.
So let me get this straight. Just to recap,
so cool.
A group of people come together. They commit to giving on a quarterly basis or yearly basis,
mm-hmm.
and then basically the money is divvied out or given out on a quarterly basis. It's given out to charities that are nominated by the members of this group.
Nominated and voted on
after they present in a dolphin, shark, whatever you want to call it, format to the group. And then those members basically then vote who gets the money. And it's a winner takes all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Orange County, we, I think, unique to a lot of cities in the areas in the U.S., we have a lot of nonprofits. You'd mentioned almost 5,800.
Blow me away.
There's also...
Not to mention schools, too.
Yeah, there's also...
Those are the registered, by the way.
Those are registered, yeah. So those are going to be in that pool.
Yeah.
But we also have close to 30,000 businesses.
Yeah.
Here in Orange County as well. And so, like I said, there's a couple things. There's two major problems I see in the nonprofit sector. One is overlap of services, mm-hmm. like redundancies. And then the other is over-reliance on major donors. So this concept, the difference with 100 companies is we get 100 companies together. They all commit to give it's a $4,250 annual commitment. The $250 covers transaction fees, process, credit card fees, and food for the event. Everything else is sponsored.
So it's administrative kind of.
Yeah, a little bit of administrative. But of the $4,250, $4,000 is actually going to end up in a local charity.
Right.
So there's I don't have a salary. Like, we're not even really an organization. Right. Like, we're like a, it's a movement is what it is, more so than an actual organization. And so, 100 companies, business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, $1,000 a quarter. We're giving out $100,000 at every event, $400,000 annual impact, and they're going to go to charities here in Orange County.
And how do people find out more about this?
You can go to 100companieswhocare.org.
Okay.
The number 100. And companieswhocare.org.
There's a good video actually with you in it.
Yeah, there's a video that explains a little bit. We're working on the website. We'll have something new. Hopefully, our friends over at GigaSavvy are going to help us out with that. And then there will be a contact. The thing is with it, it is a invitation/referral/application membership process. So it's sort of open to anyone who is a business owner, but
there's certain guidelines of who can and cannot, right?
Yeah, we want to protect the idea is that there's two value propositions I see with this model. One is the idea that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a member of 100 companies who care. You pay your $42.50 a year, and you will at that point be able to be exposed to and vet and potentially get more involved with 12 different charities over the course of a year, because you're going to have to hear from three every single yep. event. And so what happens is if I'm a business owner, I can take, for one, if I go and try and divvy my $42.50 up among those 12 charities, it's going to be minimal.
You've diluted your impact.
Yeah, you're diluting the impact. It's a drop in the, exactly. It's nothing, as well as it's very, very time intensive to go seek out and then vet these charities.
So
we do it collectively. We first of all, business owners are bringing charities they already like,
right?
And then essentially you're collectively and socially vetting them together. And then on top of that, your $42.50 now is going to show up as a $400,000.
Oh, the impact. The impact is much bigger.
And the other thing too, and this is. Is there an egalitarian component to it as well, which we mentioned already, because
that's our $20 word radio listeners.
Yeah. So there's going to be on the website 100, you know, company logos in no particular order. There's no Bank of America or U.S. Bank as the platinum donor,
yeah.
and then the gold donor and the silver donor and on down, and then me who, you know, contributed, and I'm one of 42 bronze donors. You know, the bottom.
No. Everybody's equal. Everybody's equal in their contribution,
mm-hmm. equal impact, and so that's kind of the
appeal.
The model.
The appeal to me on something like this is that very much so, but also the fact that it has the benefit of everybody getting around and not only vetting these organizations, because in some cases, if you have a certain credibility with the group, you're not going to bring in an organization that you don't already know is going to stand the test.
You want to vouch for someone that's worth vouching.
Right, which is a great thing, because then nobody's bringing in something that isn't been vetted or is going to reflect negatively on them, or, you know, oh, I heard about this thing, maybe we should talk about it. You're going to bring in sort of a quality organization that you feel are deserving, that you might even have had previous engagement and involvement in, and basically try to champion them to the rest of the group. But what I really, really like about this is that it doesn't put unnecessary burden on these organizations other than to do that, to show up and basically pitch. And it's 1 out of 3, so it's a 30% mm-hmm. chance. It's not like 1 out of 10, 1 out of 15, right? And you basically have a good chance to have a large reward that is now supported by all these 100 companies that basically are coming together. Now, you know, you might not have 100 people that are voting when that happens because of who's available or who's not, but... Wait, hold on. Zach's got an idea. What's the idea?
Well, the other aspect that we haven't even talked about as to why this program is beneficial is human resources. Some nonprofits only as good as their executive director.
Exactly.
Or they're only as good as their development director.
Exactly.
And their little black book that they carry around with them.
Right.
And let's face it, to be an executive director is like being a CEO, but you're getting burnt out. It's really hard to not get burnt out as a development director. So it does kind of take the burden off of those lunch
meetings. Those resources.
Yeah. Because there's only so many talented people out there.
And that's where I was going with it, is that it doesn't put that unnecessary burden on the organization. Like, you try to put on an event for a gala or something, you're basically planning this dang thing for about 4 to 6 months. And then you're basically putting all this money, these events, staff time on it, volunteer time on it.
But events are great. We love events.
We love events.
And there is a place for it. What I'm saying is, here's the situation. Now, to take what you were saying and say, okay, the organization is only as strong as the executive director, and the executive director shows up and basically says, hey, and puts on a presentation, these 100 companies basically go, oh, we like that. We'll give them the money. Great. But here's the thing. They're supposed to come back and report.
Yeah, so we...
On how that was used.
We do what's called the Impact Award. So nonprofits who are awarded the grant. So just so we're clear with everyone, we don't do the winner-takes-all model. It's an 80-10-10 split.
Right.
So everyone who gets nominated gets some contribution, but obviously not to the amount of the winning charity. But the winning charity comes back.
And that's also decided by the membership.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And then the winning charity comes back the following quarter and shares what we call the Impact Award, which just says, hey, here's what the money went to and the funds. Because I think that, from a responsibility standpoint, there's a lot of goodwill that is gained in a charity demonstrating to this group that the funds were used appropriately. Because reality of it is that the $42.50, that's just the foot in the door. When you talk about from a philanthropy standpoint and corporate responsibility, that's just a foot in the door. The magic happens when these companies and these business owners latch on to a cause, and that becomes an opportunity for staff volunteerism and further donations. And so what happens is by frivolously using the $80,000 grant that they may receive, they're essentially going to kind of like burn through their goodwill with the group in terms of like, hey, I don't know that I want to continue because the reality of it is $80,000 isn't going to carry a nonprofit for
depends on the nonprofit.
But again, like the idea that's a finite amount, that will eventually run out, and they need to have demonstrated to the community that they're responsible for these funds.
And that is critical. And that, to me, as a person who donates and volunteers both in my time and monies towards something, that is critical, because the fact that I can somehow, in a business-like manner, hold them, not accountable, but have them come back and report to me on the impact, therefore the Impact Awards, the impact on that money and how they use it within a quarter. I mean, I'm putting them on a quarterly system at this point. You got the money a quarter ago. You said that this is what you are doing. That money should have been applied towards that, at least initiated towards that, and to where you can come back the quarter after and basically report to me how that money was used. That is music to me in my ears as a donor, as a person who wants to basically be vested in the success of an organization.
That's why at an event, a chairperson or an executive director, the first words out of their mouth are, this is who we are, this is where we've been, and this is where we're going and what we've done.
Yeah. Hint to any charities that may present at 100 Companies Who Care. There's a lot to be said about the value.
It's about the context of their story, too.
And demonstrating what the potential grant would go to.
I know why you're bringing this up, and without naming names per se, but you could be a charity that comes in and basically is very much factual on that level, right? Here's the things, here's the stuff, like to Zach's point, this is who we are, this is what we have done, da da da. And the way you present it is a business-like almost presentation. You're giving me the facts, you're breaking it down for me, you're doing the ask, and then you could also be an organization that comes in and does a very emotional ask. And I think in this particular setting, to be fair to those that would come in and basically present, you need to be aware of who your audience is.
Yeah.
And what they're looking for and what they're looking to hear.
To that point, I have a question for you. What, because we were talking about it earlier before the show, was there's this stigma that exists in the nonprofit world where when they're, let's say, presenting, to say that we provide 90 cents on the dollar goes towards the cause. That's a very sexy line. That's a very, you know, appealing to kind of a layman, to a donor who is going to look at that and go, okay, I know that 90 cents of the dollar I give is going to go towards feeding this person or educating this person or putting a roof over this person's head.
Right.
Whereas, and that's a common misconception, of sadly, because if these nonprofits do take some of these resources to invest back in themselves, they have grown their cause and the amount of people they can help exponentially. You know, a nonprofit's going to raise like $500,000 in any given year, and they say 90 cents on the dollar is going towards the cause.
Yeah.
But if they raised, if they invested a portion of, a larger portion of that into their own operation and brought in more human resources, more methods of outreach, more PR, all that good stuff, they're going to raise $1 million.
Yeah.
Now, they may not be raising 90 cents on the dollar.
Right,
they might be doing 80 cents on the dollar. But they've still raised more money for the cause.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well,
so
that's all.
When someone's presenting, does that curry favor with your group and where they say 90 cents on the dollar? Or is that something...
Your
that
audience
the people,
is a bunch of businesses. So
are they going are they so well steeped in the nonprofit world to know that that stat shouldn't carry as much weight as it does?
Yeah, I think that this, the idea...
How educated are
it's
these
It's a very
donors?
Good question.
Yeah, I think that, well, I mean, obviously there's a ideally there's going to be a pretty varying degree, because there would be some organizations that are already highly involved philanthropically. So organizations, I mean companies. And some of these companies, highly involved philanthropically, this is one more thing they're doing. Yeah. And then other people who this is their foot in the door on the corporate responsibility thing. So you're going to have a pretty varying degree, but the idea that, you know, through over time and collectively that this grows. But in general, what's interesting is, like, so you talk about ROI, right?
Return on
investment. So any business owner is going to be focused on the return that he's getting in any aspect of his business. Yeah. And it's not like that switch turns off when it comes to philanthropy.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's not like
I'm still looking for that.
It's not you don't have a shrewd business person who is frivolous philanthropically.
I bet a few, but go on.
Yeah, in general. You know,
there's usually other mitigating circumstances.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
there
so in general, if someone's going
to
say...
The wife sitting
I'm
next to them being one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
There's your mitigator right
there. So, you know, assuming that there is... you're going to spend on some marketing strategy or new technology or some sort of machinery or equipment that's going to generate a return for your business, you're going to weigh the return on that investment. You're going to apply similar principles to your philanthropic giving. That's the idea, and that collectively it will be an audience that, yeah, hopefully is not, the wool's not easily pulled over their eyes.
I think that won't, and again, it's a group situation. So if one or two are basically, you know, mesmerized by the siren song of a nonprofit, the others are probably also going to sort of dilute that effect in the overall vote, because they're evaluating things for different reasons. Now, not everybody may be looking at our ROI in terms of, you know, actual dollars and cents. Some people are maybe looking at it in terms of community impact. Some people are looking at it as future investment into something, you know. But the bottom line is you're still very much aware
of
cost and return.
And that's the thing to your point, Zach, about this, you know, like – you know, what percentage of funds are going to programs and stuff, is that not enough people are paying attention to impact.
Right.
So there's organizations that
like CASA.
Again, like I love CASA. So like they're a low volume service. They don't reach a lot of kids, but
and we'll see you at their event on April 27th.
April 27th. Yeah.
I'm conducting it.
Yeah,
you're
and
welcome.
And I will be there.
And I'm sorry.
So, you know, but there's another one, the Unstoppable Foundation. They're based out of the LA area. They work with bringing education to developing countries. Mm-hmm. But what they found is that every school plant in Africa is failing because 2 weeks in, kids stop going because they spend all their time going to carry and get clean water. Mm-hmm. And so what happens, they have these four pillars. So they don't onboard a new school in another village until they can provide clean water, they can have some sort of economic stability or like some sort of commerce within the community, so training people on job skills, and then they'll start to introduce the possibility for education.
So that money they spend into the educational sector is actually sustainable. Because the network
exactly. And so it takes over $1 million to onboard one new village in Africa. Yeah. But the difference is there's no abandoned schools in these villages that they're onboarding. So impact is a metric that in a lot of cases is hard to quantify.
Well, and we don't live in a world that actually understands that. And I'll explain to you very simply. Okay, you'll talk to somebody, and I'm going to use social media. You go, oh, how many followers do you have? Oh my God, you got like 14 million followers. I'm like, okay, what's the convertibility ratio on that one? Because you got all these likes and all these followers, but I mean, are you still struggling paying your rent? And you know, the point to be made here is you got to look past these catchphrases that Zach was pointing out. You know, the 90 cents on the dollar doesn't really mean anything if the dollar is all that you're getting.
Right.
If it's 90 cents on the dollar and you just raised a dollar, we're not paying for anything, including the friggin' lights to be turned on in the building.
There is a volume aspect that, to this point of having more sustainable, egalitarian methods of fundraising that are still gatherings. I put a lot of, throwing an event. Because a lot of people, you know, they say the pros and cons because there's a cost associated with it. There's also an inherent networking aspect that cannot be calculated monetarily, at least initially.
Yeah.
Giving is an effort in group thinking. Donating is a lot easier to do when everybody else is donating.
Right.
Which is why there will always be a place for
events.
For public displays of generosity.
Right.
Whether that's at a casino night or a golf tournament or a gala or an underwriting party.
Or like the show where we give so much information.
Or just like, you know, these cocktail parties that happen at Top of the World where, you know, there's just donation cards on the cocktail tables. And, you know, there's all sorts of elaborate elements of group thinking that need to be engaged. This is a lemming-like aspect.
So with that being said, we're almost at the end of our time, and I want to just give you guys an opportunity here. So, Zach, if somebody was putting on an event and they were interested in your services, how do they get hold of you?
CaliforniaCoastAuctions.com or CACoastAuctions.com, or literally you could just Google Benefit Auctioneer, Orange County, and there'll be a lot.
This gentleman.
There's an annoyingly high amount of self-promotion. Because I am the product.
You are your brand, my friend.
I am not selling vacuums.
It's Zach Krohn.
I've been quietly listening, trying to stay quiet during the whole show because I know you get a lot of talk. I just got one request. I want him to do the auction voice.
Okay. We'll end with that.
Yes.
Okay. And then Tyler, what about the 100 companies that care?
100companieswhocare.org, or you can just email me, and yes, I will give you my personal email. It's Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, at StarkLife, StarkLife.us. Okay. Just email me. Because
we're giving away our personal email addresses, ZachKrohn@gmail.com.
Man,
there you go. Yeah.
You guys are a little...
Because this is in the context of charitable giving, I am okay, obviously, if people reach out to me personally.
And I did promise you I would do this, okay? And I will. Because I really believe in this, and I'm really happy to see this as an option for somebody, a company. So us as Rod Gantis and Associates are going to be really proud and happy to be part of the 100 companies.
Wow.
Yay. Awesome. Where's the sound effect with the clapping and the yane? No?
Thank you, sir. That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I told you I would consider it, and I thought that I would announce it if I'm going to announce it, and here I am. I encourage everybody to please go check out the 100 companies who care. And if you have any questions, you can also reach out to me, Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, @gmail.com, or go to The Rad Life and ask us questions. You really need, if you've been in this field, and I know a lot of you out there that have been, there's a lot of people in my circle that know this, we have shared frustrations. And I'm not taking it away from any of the nonprofits, because all of those nonprofits that we really care about, I'm going to be bringing those in and we're going to share them with these people. It's about the efficiency and the impact that we basically want to do. What were you going to say, Tyler?
The next event's going to be August 23rd.
And where is it?
It's going to be at Dust Mulchy, which is in Irvine on Von Karman. All that information's on the website and stuff. But
it's on the website?
For people who are business owners.
We need to have the auctioneer take us out with his auction voice.
And I'll also share it on my stuff, so if you're following me, you'll get that. And please join us.
I do have an auction chant, but it's not what you're used to.
I don't. Hey,
Is he having a stroke? Is he okay?
is the baby boomer in the room?
That sounded like a seizure. Yeah. Okay.
Bite on something.
It has to be clear because a lot of these people that come to these events are novices. they're not buying to.
Maybe we have an appearance.
$15, $12, $15, $15, $17, $15. Anyone a two? Need a bit of two now? I have a bit of $17.50. Looking for a bit of two. Anyone care to bid? Or just play along, or am I just
I love it.
Two.
Oh, love
it. There it is. We finally had a bid from James Franco. Looking for a bid from the George Clooney stunt double. Come on back at $22.50. He does kind of look like, if you really look close, if you want to see it, you'll see that he does have a Clooneyism to him. Yeah. It's the olive skin.
What am I bidding? Am I doubling him? I'll double him.
I didn't even say what I was selling. You were just...
You're just buying.
Well, I'm just so proud of you for not only becoming a member of
this... You called me a Goldilocks. What do you want? At 53, I became a Goldilocks.
It's about time. You know, the fact that you're joining this group is definitely commendable, especially the fact that you're paying up front 5 years in advance to give over $20,000. I'm just so I didn't know you had it in
you. The sweat that I'm feeling right now is exactly what will happen when this gentleman takes your stage. But I will encourage you to check him out.
It's funny.
Both of these gentlemen, these organizations, I couldn't be prouder to be involved with both of you guys. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We will share that information about the next event for the 100 companies that who care.
Gotta go.
And I will put on Zach's information, too. So thanks, everybody. Join us next week.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.